Prayer is the greatest Christian privilege and the grandest Christian service. Prayer is greater than singing and preaching and soul winning and testifying and teaching and playing pickleball. Prayer is our greatest spiritual opportunity and also our greatest failure. I'm quoting James O. Davis, Dr. Davis. He writes, "I believe that more than 80% of Christians would say, I am not satisfied with my prayer life." Is this true of us this morning? What is the answer to this? Praying in the Spirit is the key to a victorious Christian life, our victorious prayer life personally. It is the answer to our indifference when God seems far away. It is the answer to our ignorance when we don't know what to pray for. It is the answer to our weakness when we don't seem to be able to concentrate or live the way we know that we should live. Prayer is essential. It is the answer to our inability when we're not able to articulate the things that we'd like to say, or even sense what we should say when we pray. God the Holy Spirit says he will help us. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:18 encourages us to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In Jude 1:20 we read, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." In Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness, your meekness, your gentle spirit be known to all mankind. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The first century church had so little, and they did so much, turning the entire world upside down. And often we have so much and we do so little. Why is that? The difference is in the prayer life of that early church compared to the prayer life of the average modern church. This week is the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, May 7th. It's the 75th annual observance, and it will focus on the theme, "Glorify God among the nations, seeking him in all generations." It's based on 1 Chronicles 16:24. It says, "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people." This coming week, this coming Thursday, this all week, will we pray? In Romans 8, Paul mentions the weaknesses of the saints. In chapter 8, verse 26, he reads, "The Spirit also helps our weakness." The weakness that each of us have is not unique. I have it. You have it. It is not an inferiority complex. It is a spiritual complex. I have it. You have it. Paul had it. The Apostle Paul did not say the Spirit helps your weaknesses. He said the Spirit helps our weaknesses. We need him. We need to pray effectively with his help. We read in 2 Corinthians 12:9, after asking three times that a thorn in the flesh be removed, what kind of answer did Paul get? It's like God says, hey, be quiet. Yeah, you had a stroke, so what? Keep going. You're having trouble with your eyesight, I think, in Paul's case. Yeah, you ask three times. Give it up. God makes us weak. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He has promised to help us. But we got to be a little bit energetic and active. He's not going to do it unless we participate. Peter was weak. When he should be quiet, what did he do? Talked. At the Transfiguration, God the Father spoke from heaven and told him to be quiet. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. When Peter should have had faith and concentrated on the person of Jesus, as he steps out of a boat on the Sea of Galilee and walks on the water, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he looks at the wind. Peter said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, I've never seen wind. I've seen what wind does. Seeing the wind, he became frightened. Peter was always frightened, all the way through Scripture. It's his prevailing personality trait, I think. Maybe he had a mean mother. What do you think? I was afraid of my mother, let me tell you. Ouch. I still remember why I was afraid of her. Some of you are afraid of your fathers or your grandparents or your children. Seeing the wind, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. At least he knew where to go. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, oh, little faith, why did you doubt? When he should have been composed and calm, prayerfully walking with God and focusing his mind on Scripture, on the person of Jesus right there in front of him, he became frightened. Fear was a real problem for Peter. What are we afraid of? Why will we not go to God and just pray? Arrogance was a problem for Peter. His self-sufficiency and his self-satisfaction. I don't need to pray. Jesus, I'll never forsake you. I'll go to death for you. Oh, really, Peter? Before a rooster crows tonight, this morning, you'll deny me three times. Peter got worse in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is said, pray. And what did he do? Fell asleep. How many times? Three times. So did all the other guys. It wasn't just Peter. Stay here and pray. And they fell asleep. And Jesus is taken by the mob, tortured and crucified. But now, 50 days later, Pentecost has happened. Peter has been comforted by Jesus during that time. Jesus prayed that his faith would not fail, and it didn't. Peter was suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit and became a bold leader and a public speaker. If Peter were not weak, he would not have had God's help. God delivered Peter from the peril of self-sufficiency. Peter, perpetually weak and frightened, perpetually dependent now upon God, the Holy Spirit, and empowered for ministry. Peter moved from complaining and from sorrowful despair about unbelief and weaknesses. Peter began to pray, and through the Lord, he became strong. The Holy Spirit will help us in our weaknesses. The word help in Corinthians, take hold. In other words, to lay hands to in order to help us is what God the Holy Spirit does with us. This word is preceded by a double prefix. The first part of the prefix means together with. The other part means instead of. The Holy Spirit helps together with us, and the Holy Spirit does it instead of us as we do it. We've got to pray. Just humble ourselves in his presence and pray, and he will help us. That was the case with Peter. For Peter, the Holy Spirit brings together with and instead of kind of help to Peter, and he preaches. The Holy Spirit of God does the work, but he will not do it apart from us. It's together with and instead of as we pray, taking our thoughts, our efforts, making them presentable and acceptable at the throne of God wonderfully. A glorious partnership. Why will we not pray? Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Maybe right there's the problem. We're kind of a dichotomy. There are two of us living in our little bodies. Two propensities, if you will. The flesh and the Spirit. These two are warring against each other in our hearts and in our minds. Paul continues with this in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For to be carnally, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, that is, they who are carnal, fleshly, cannot please God. We've got a choice. Peter never got rid of the flesh, the carnal nature, never got rid of his personality, both the good parts of his personality and the other parts. But God gave the Holy Spirit, and suddenly Peter did a wonderful work, and thousands of people came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Do you know why it is so hard for Peter to pray before he was filled with the Spirit? The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh is indifferent to prayer. The flesh is completely apathetic to prayer. If we are carnally minded, we are not going to want to pray. Look again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So this morning, let me ask you, how's your prayer life? On the day of Pentecost, Peter's spirit-filled sermon brought conviction to the crowd. They responded after his sermon in Acts 2:37. Men and brethren, What shall we do? These Jews had been waiting for the Messiah to come, and now Peter, by the Holy Spirit, tells them that the Messiah came and they killed him. Peter informs them that it was he whom that nation had rejected and hanged upon the cross at Calvary. Now, what should they do? Would they be given another chance? Would Jesus come again? Yes, but not in the way that he came the first time. Would God send Jesus again so that the people might have another opportunity to receive him? In desperation, they ask Peter and the rest, "What shall we do?" Mankind do not ask questions about eternal things when there is no conviction of sin. Peter's scripture-filled sermon, as we mentioned last week, convicted them. And Peter answered one word. Nobody remembers it. Repent. Repentance means literally a change of mind. These Jews had the wrong conception regarding Jesus Christ. By wicked hands, they had taken and crucified and slain him. He had come to them, but they would not receive him. They showed their attitude toward Jesus when they rejected him. And now Peter simply says, change your mind, change your attitude. Change your mind about Jesus. He might say to us this morning, change your mind about prayer. If we aren't praying the way we should, repent. Change your mind about prayer and get busy praying. Turn off your TV. Turn off your radio. I'm thinking of my own life, driving so many times a week to Tyler or Winsboro or Quitman or other places. Never to McDonald's, by the way. But pray. Some of my most favorite memories after Hope died was praying between here and Lindale on the back roads, just praying. True repentance effects not only a change of mind and attitude, but a complete moral reformation, which is seen in sorrow for sin and a deep regret that the person repenting has violated the holy laws of God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Real repentance manifests itself in a conscious decision to turn around, and it includes self-humiliation. Humble yourselves and pray. Turn around, redirect your path, set a time for prayer. Morning, noon, or night, I don't care. Maybe all three. Pray. I love the memories of my sweet, wonderful late wife, Hope. She would not eat ever. She would never have breakfast until she had been on her knees praying. She had a prayer list. I've got it. I've got it at home. I can't even read the words. They are worn out from the pages. But she would pray. She knew exactly. She had prayed them so many times. She knew which people she was praying for. And one of my sweet memories of her, she's kneeling by the bed one time. And she's just praying. And she kind of looked up as I walked in the room. And I said, "What you praying about?" She said, "It's none of your business. I'm not praying to you." Oh, all right. All right. You win. Peter knew from personal experience what true repentance and self-humiliation were, and how wonderful the forgiveness and cleansing and restoration with God truly was. Repentance involves a radical change in the innermost recesses of a person's being, and such a work can be accomplished only by the Holy Spirit. "For that which is born of the Spirit is spirit," Jesus said to Nicodemus. a person apart from the Holy Spirit might stir up the emotions, but only the Spirit of God can reach the human spirit and transform it so that we will humble ourselves and pray. When mankind are soundly saved through the power of the Spirit, the results are permanent and continuous. Acts chapter 3, verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized in water, I believe. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer, plural, prayers. They weren't just listening to the pastoral prayer of Peter or James or John or somebody else. They were praying personally. We are told that they continued steadfastly in prayer. Yes, they prayed. The new converts did not consider the pastoral prayer enough for them. It must have been a great blessing to the new believers when Peter and the rest prayed. But they learned to exercise the glorious privilege of prayer with God, and God blessed them. Here's one of the blessings to Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb, was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, presumably to pray, he began asking to receive alms. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I don't possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk for the first time in his whole life. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were asking, they were taking note of him, of being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate and beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Down in verse 16, and on the basis of faith in his name, Peter said, "This man's been healed. It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of us all." Oh, but Peter goes on. "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times." Jesus will come again. But until then, times of refreshing for us, being filled with the Holy Spirit, able to pray. Did Peter ever walk in the flesh again? Come on, you know Peter. Did he ever walk in the flesh again? Yes, badly. But that's a whole nother sermon. Not next week. Dawn's preaching next week, but, or giving her missionary report next week. Peter confronted by the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians for hypocrisy. That's another sermon. If my people who are called by my name will simply humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's pretty incredible. What a wonderful promise from God. Please help me. Humble yourselves and pray this week. I can't do it for you. I can do it with you. Do you pray? Will you pray consistently, daily? And not just for your food, although I recommend that, but pray. Let me close with this. Little Timmy was kneeling beside his bed with his mother and his grandmother listening, and he was softly saying his prayers. Dear God, bless Mommy and Daddy and all the family, and please give me a good night's sleep. And then suddenly he looked up and shouted, and don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday. His mother said, Timmy, there's no need to shout like that. God isn't deaf. No, little Timmy said, but Grandma is. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to have a passion for your presence and for prayer and for your word. Help us to sense your presence through the Holy Spirit guiding us in all that we do, including our prayers. May we pray faithfully. May we love you above everything else in our lives. And may our spiritual lives be energized and effective. I pray that we will be drawn to life and health from our devotion to you. Keep us on a righteous and holy path, Father, serving you and serving others faithfully. Enable us to inspire a greater love for you in our families. Father, have mercy on us. In Jesus' name, amen.